Bay Area Compass. Located at bayareacompass.blogspot.com.
Jay Area!
What's good, YouTube? It's your boy, Don Julio, giving that fire content. Once again, I'm representing Bay Area Compass, and we got a very special guest today. He's featured on shows such as 13 Reasons Why, Wild and Now. He's also featured on interview sessions with Sway in the Morning, The Breakfast Club, and he's also chilled with celebrities such as The Currys, E-40, and Mr. Fab. I'm with Mr. Louis Valentino.
What's happening, my guy?
Thank you for joining the platform,
my friend. No problem.
How you doing, man?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Doing very well.
Yeah.
So, what's new, man? You dropping any new music, or what's...
The music situation has kind of been on like the little back burner just
really?
Because I've been doing the acting so much. But every day I'm in the studio working on something, you know what I'm saying? Either I'm writing for somebody, I'm getting back into producing. But a new EP coming soon. I just dropped a brand new single called Ready. So,
yeah, banging. Who featured on that, by the way?
Outrageous Karina from San Jose.
Okay. How did you guys link up and how did that single come about?
Actually, she's an engineer at Tune Studios. So she do like all Mr. Fab engineering and everything. Like, she's super dope. Like, one of the dopest female engineers I've ever met in my life. You feel me? So my boy Christopher Elliott, that's like one of my in-home producers and my artists, made the beat. And I just sent it to her one night and she sent it back in like 10 minutes and we knocked the song out in like 30 minutes.
Nice. So you kind of heard her sound and you're like, man, I want to work with you.
Yeah,
and it
kind of
just went from there.
Yeah, she dope. She got a song on KMEO right now that's going crazy. I can't remember the name, but yeah, she doing her thing for sure.
Okay, nice. Yeah. So I see you, man. I've been checking out the IG and it just always seems like you're in the loop. Just like with all these, you know, the current events going around, like with all these celebrities, and like I saw you at the Mr. Fab's backyard, you know, event and everything too.
Yeah.
Speak a little bit on the Bay Area culture. You working with Dope Era, and you working with Mr. Fab. I see you with E-40. It just seems like you're everywhere.
Yeah, so like the Dope Era, man. I've been knowing Mr. Fab since I was like super young. So like that's like I said, like real life pops. Just how he look at Too Short as his like pops and his role model and his upbringing. That's how I look at him. And you know, Dope Era been going on for a long, long time. I'm like one of the designers and of course the backing and the mind behind it. You know what I'm saying? Like the creative mind. I do all their videos. I make sure everything is in place. You know what I'm saying? So.
So you're like a very crucial role.
Yeah, like the big role of the team. Yeah. So you know, the label coming soon next year. Hopefully, start A&R and putting some artists out under the label. And
so you work with Sick With It, or
yeah, I know 40, man. I see him from time to time. Work with Too Short, Snoop Dogg. The list just goes on, man.
Yeah. So I saw you perform at Steph Curry's Under Armour.
Yeah, that was super dope, bro. Like, that was my first time. It's crazy because I done been to the Fox growing up, watching everybody else perform. And it's crazy. Fab called me one day and he like, son, bro, like, you want to perform at the Fox? I'm like, hell yeah, I want to perform at the Fox.
Say less.
I'm like, who show is he? Like, Steph Curry.
Oof.
And I was nervous. I'm like, man, this going to be crazy. Like, this going to be big. So, yeah, I went up there, man, and I killed it, bro. I ain't going to lie. That was probably like...
You're vibing.
That was like the best show I think I'd had in a long, long time.
Who else was on that? Was it just like Bay Area artists?
Man, it was Bay Area artists. It was Fab. It was P-Lo. P-Lo went crazy. It was Sweetie. Shout out to Sweetie. She from...
You had a song with her too.
No, not yet. It's going to come.
With her. Yeah. Okay, got you.
She was up there. My boy. Who else performed at that show? Karina performed at that show. It was just a whole bunch of like dope energies and vibe at that show, man. So
that's what I love about the Bay Area, bro. Just we're a unit, man. Like when those songs come, you know, if you ain't dancing, you can tell who ain't from here and who from here.
Right. For surely.
Let's get a little bit into your acting career. I mean, have you always wanted to get into acting, or you know, you're in 13 Reasons Why? Let's talk about how you got into that role,
man. You know, growing up as a kid, you know, we always sit here and be like, man, I want to be this, I want to be that.
You picture yourself in the movies or whatever.
You know, you watching the Bad Boys movies. For me, it was like Fast and the Furious was always my favorite. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm going to be in one of those movies one day. And it's crazy because as I got older, I really never thought about acting too much. Mm-hmm. And I just remember one day, I think my mom showed me. She was like, man, they about to come to Vallejo and shoot this movie or this TV show. And I'm like, huh? I'm like, for real? So I go read the article, and it just happened that I knew some of the people who was doing the post-production for it. So I went to the casting call. The casting call was whatever. It wasn't really a casting call.
Yeah.
And I signed up online, made my profile, and next thing you know, I'm in season 1. I'm in season 2.
Damn.
Then season 3 come along. It's like,
be in season 3 too?
Yeah, season 3 out right now.
Shit.
Yeah, that just dropped. So everybody go check that out. It's streaming live on Netflix now.
And So when you first did, I'm probably thinking that you probably think that maybe it's a one and done. Or were you thinking that you probably are going to go to season 2?
Well, you know, I had like my little complications with the, you know, the whole getting along with everybody. I felt like, you know, it was some racism going on. You know what I'm saying? And with me, I don't really bite my tongue with nothing. I tell it how it is and how I really feel. So season 3, you know, it was a couple loops with season 3 that I really didn't feel. I actually left season 3 for a minute. You know what I'm saying? Just due to, like I said, some racism and some stuff that I
thought. When you
say
racism, like, what do you like?
You know, they don't really cast too many black people, man.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you're the only one I saw.
Yeah, you know, and then they got another main actor. She black, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, like, the first two seasons, it was kind of like, I ain't going to get no black people. Y'all got all these white people. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, y'all gotta divide this. Y'all got to spread it out a little bit. So, like I said, I left season 3. And we got into a little complication or whatever about, you know, a scene or whatever. And I remember when I left, I was like, man, I'm going viral. I'm going public with this. Like, and I remember they sent me a text and they sent me a long email.
Shit.
And we had a talk and everything was all cool. And I was back rocking and rolling. And now we in season 4, filming season 4.
Season 4? This show's really going to season 4. I've never seen season 1,
bro. It is crazy. I'm going to keep it 100 with you. It was crazy because when season 3, like the last 4 weeks of it being filmed, they was like, yeah, we filming season 4. And I'm like, huh?
Damn.
I'm like, that's crazy.
Shit, man.
So I did that, and then it's crazy. 13 was my first show to Always. Season 2 was my second show. What else did I do? I did Always Be My Maybe. I kind of got cut out of there. That was like a little background scene. I had a little small scene, but the main scenes that I did kind of got like cut out, which is cool. You know, that's just how I go. What else did I do? I just did The Phone with Wanda Sykes. That was shot in Oakland. You know, and I got some upcoming commercials. That's cool. Matter of fact, it's crazy. I just went and tried out for a movie.
Oh, shit.
I ain't going to say the name, but a couple weeks ago, and I just felt like they tried to play me. You know, I got the meeting, the call yesterday, and I was just like, nah, I ain't feeling it. So, you know.
It is what it is, man.
Life goes on.
Hey, man, you're like, I mean, I don't know if this show, people throw the word legendary around so often, but this show could be legendary because it was kind of like the beginning of this kind of weird genre of like high school. Like,
I feel like for sure 13 Reasons Why is legendary, man. First of all, it's in Belleville, California. Exactly. We got a whole bunch of legends that came out of there, such as E-40, you know, Jeff Gordon, like CC Sabathia, CJ Anderson, Rashad Ross, like SOB, and Neff DeFeros. Like, so for a show to come out there and it's like, man, this is the number one show on Netflix other than Orange Is New Black and whatever else, Snowfall, whatever else people watch. That's crazy. And it's like, this is in my backyard. This is like where I grew up watching and going to these certain places. And now to see a show out here, it's like, whoa.
Especially you in it too. Your community can watch it too.
And it ain't even really hit me yet. I don't think it's going to hit me until farther on in life. Until
it's over probably.
Right. Because it's crazy. Like I think I've done so much at a young age than half of these other people have done. And they've been doing it for years.
How old are you right now?
24.
Damn, you 24?
Yeah.
Damn, nigga, I thought you was 32 or some shit walking this motherfucker. And I was like, damn, he's huge. For sure. So you were also on Wildin' Out. So can you speak a little bit about how, did you do like a rap part too?
No. You know, we just went up there and chilled, man. You know, Fab went up there. Yeah. You know, he did the Black Squad.
So he was the guest.
He was the main primary guest. Okay. And, you know, it was all love, man. It's crazy. He hit me like, they doing Wildin' Out in the Bay Area. So at first he wasn't on it. And then he got the call like last minute, like, hey, bro, you got to come be a part of this. You know, 40, I think 40 was on the Red Squad or something like that.
Yeah.
And we pull up and shake hands with Nick Cannon. It's crazy. I'd have met Nick a couple times on different occasions. You know what I'm saying? But
he's always doing something.
Right. And we pull up. I shake hands with everybody. And it's crazy, my friend Tyler Nicole is crazy. She actually was one of the girls on there. And I'm like, man, like, this is your time to shine. Like, it's the first time they came to the Bay Area, did anything like this. And now she on it, so shout out to her.
How was the energy in the Bay?
Man, the energy was crazy. They said that the Oakland show was like the biggest show they did on the whole entire tour.
Damn.
That and Sac. So shout out to Sac too, but Oakland for surely. Like, it's just the Bay Area culture. Like, you
just vibe with just like that hip hop culture. Anything that has to do with it, you know, people are hosting, we're at least going to support it.
For sure. Right.
You know what I mean?
Oakland is legendary.
Yeah.
Vallejo is legendary too. San Francisco got their legends, but it ain't really like no spotlight below, man.
Yeah.
Like
we it's got kind of their own like man. Island, like world it's almost. Own
island, man. It is what it is. Like if you look at the history, man, we got history coming out of Belil. Like we got the biggest artists, some of the biggest athletes to come out of Belil. Like it's crazy, man. So the comparison, it really ain't one because everybody kind of got like their own style.
Yeah.
We can't compete with Oakland. We can't compete with Frisco, and they can't compete with us. It's like we just got to just bridge the gap. Mm-hmm. I feel like if we bridge the gap and go get the bag together, it'll be 10 times mm-hmm. bigger.
So where does your style come from? Like your cadence is...
My cadence is for surely, man. My style come from growing up rapping. I started off in this music group called Go Big Music Group, right? And it was mm-hmm. a Filipino group.
Mm-hmm.
And my dude, he Martin, like that's who like I kind of grew up under. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And he was my inspiration. He inspired me. And I remember getting in the studio. I was like, man, I want to be just like you. So I learned my style from him. And when his daughter passed, he kind of left the music game. So I'm like, man, like now this style is kind of like, you know, it ain't really played out, but this ain't the style. And I remember when Sage the Gemini came out, that's who made me start rapping again. I'm okay. like, he gave me that hope. I'm like, man, this nigga raw, like he yeah. clean. So
you made that song, was it Shake It Up?
Shake It Like a Red Shake Nose like and then a, Gas Pedal.
No, for you. You made that song called, was Shake Something, wasn't it?
I had a song, what up? Man, I done had so many songs. I don't even yeah, know. Probably Shake It or something.
Shake It.
I think who on that? Ironic the King. Yeah. That song going crazy.
That's like 200,000 views or something.
And I don't even promote it, bro, to keep it 100 with you. Yeah. Still, it do like 500 views a day, like on Spotify and Apple mm-hmm. Music, and I don't even promote it. But Clyde Carson is for surely where I get my style from. Like, I feel like everybody kind of takes somebody's style and flip it. And I just felt like me having a deep voice and whatever, like, I was like, man, I got to go find somebody or listen to something that
you could work with.
Exactly. And I just felt like Clyde Carson was the sauciest nigga in the Bay. Like, his style just super raw to me. So,
yeah.
That's kind of where I get my style from.
What happened to Clyde Carson now?
Man, Clyde Carson's still doing his thing. He just dropped a project, man.
Oh,
that's,
really?
That's big brother, bro. I always tap in with him. Yeah.
So, you actually had talked to him personally and everything?
Yeah. That's the homie, man. We just shot some videos and, you know, some other stuff on the under, but that's for surely the big homie, Clyde. Clyde is, like, a forever star. I don't even think people understand, like, Clyde is a real star.
Okay, yeah, I definitely have to peep the project and everything.
Yeah, check it out, man. That shit go crazy.
Okay. What's your favorite song that you've created?
Oh, that's a hard one. My favorite song I created. Probably I had this record called Lost Girl, and that's what kind of took me to the top. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was on, I had it on BET.
Oh, damn.
Steve Harvey reached out. I had Ellen and them reach out. Like, and it was talking about, like, two girls that I knew that was, like, sexually abused and
Whew.
Beat up by their parents when they was younger. And it's crazy. The record went, like, worldwide.
Jesus.
Like, and I was young. Like, it's crazy. I shot a video with this guy that I was cool with growing up called B. Giggs, and I put it out, and it just spread like a wildfire, and it's crazy the impact that the record had. Like, people sending me emails every week. Twitter was big at this time. Instagram wasn't too much popping, but Twitter was. And I get girls coming to my DMs like, bro, like, this song spoke to my heart. Like, I used to really get molested and woo-dee-woo when I was young, and this is the first time I opened up about it because of your record. Whoa. And it's crazy. Like, I feel like that was probably, like, one of my favorite songs that I've done to date. And, like, my favorite project probably was, like, The Testimony, man. Like,
When that come out?
Testimony came out probably, like, 2 years ago, man. Like, my mom went through, my mom was going through some things with being sick, and I didn't know how to take it at that time. I formed a form of depression and anxiety mm-hmm. and stress, and I was trying to run from it. Like, I didn't want to seem like I was crazy, but it was making me crazy at that time, and I remember when she was in the hospital, bro, like, damn near, like, lost my mind.
Yeah.
And I got in the studio that night, and I knocked out, I think, what the hell, like, 5-6 songs on there? I knocked them all in one night. Damn. The whole entire project in one night. No writing, no nothing.
Wait, did you do that because you just kind of wanted to get everything out of your chest?
That was just, like, my outlet. Music is, like, my outlet, you know what I'm saying? And I felt like if I didn't do that at that point in time, I was going to commit suicide or kill myself or something.
Yeah.
Like, it was that deep.
Damn.
And it's, like, a lot of people don't know that, but when they go listen to the project, people to this day still listen to it. And it's crazy because it got slept on so much by certain people, but when they go back now, they be like, bro, that project was hard.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, then I dealt with my auntie dying at that time. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just crazy. And I think that was, like, the first song that kicked it off. Like, me talking about my auntie. And that's why I got this tattoo right here. Say, trust the process. Like, mm-hmm. I gave my real testimony on that record. You know what I'm saying? And I felt like that project was dope. So I think maybe next year I'll drop a part, like a part two or something. Too or something.
Yeah, for yeah. sure. People sure. really be looking for that one.
Man, for sure. I hope so.
So you were speaking about, like, you know, people might have been sleeping on you. And I know, like you said, that record went worldwide. And, you know, you're still doing so much right now.
Yeah.
But it still feels like you're kind of there, but just like.
I'm not there.
Not there.
And it's because I don't dig ride nobody else's wave. That's the exact reason. You got to understand, bro. Like, if I break it down, I've been in this music game for a very, very long time. I done worked with hundreds and hundreds of people.
Yeah.
I know almost everybody who's in this industry that's popping right now. You know what I'm saying? But for me, I just don't dick ride, bro. That's one thing I don't do. So I feel like if I would have rolled the Sage the Gemini wave at that time when it was popping, if I would have just got on anybody wave, I could have been popping. But for me, when I get on, I want to be able to say I did it on my own. That way, later on, nobody don't be like, man, you got on off of such and such, or you die off. And I done seen it happen, bro, like numerous of times, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like I'm almost there, but it's some stuff that I just won't do to get there, bro. And if I'll never get there, it's cool, but at least I can say I did it.
The way you want to do it.
That's why I'm taking different avenues. Like, I started off doing video directing. I didn't direct it for everybody in the game, bro. I was in high school doing graphic designs and videos and photo shoots for everybody, bro, like in high school. Like, this is crazy. So from going there to going to the music to acting to whatever else comes in the future, I'm gonna do it.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So
what would you categorize yourself as? Because people always want to go straight to the rapper is the main title, no matter how many things your foot stepped into, they always want to say it's just a rapper. What would you categorize yourself as? Like a hustler, entrepreneur?
Man, I'm just a straight entrepreneur, bro. I'm just a young entrepreneur, man. I ain't really got no title, man. Because sometimes I want to rap, sometimes I don't. Yeah. Sometimes I want to act, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I want to shoot videos, sometimes I don't. Like, sometimes I just want to just sit back and just be a manager or be an A&R. Like, I just got too many roles. So, for me, I'm just a young entrepreneur, just doing what I do.
Yeah, you can do all these things.
Man, for sure.
Some people just be happy if they can do one of them.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's cool.
Do you feel like it comes easier to you than most? Or do you feel like you got to kind of like train to get this kind of like confidence and, you know?
Man, with me, I'm going to always be confident in anything I do. Even if I fail, I'm still going to be confident. With me, I read a lot. I watch a lot of interviews. I study other people a lot. So even if I don't feel like I got it all the way, I know how to go watch an interview or go read a book to go gain that confidence or go gain that knowledge that I don't have. You know what I mean? So
you've been in the industry for a very long time.
Correct.
Can you explain a little bit some of the differences or some of the changes you think that are going on right now in it?
The music game changes, I think, to me, like every 5 to 10 years, right? And I feel like a lot of artists nowadays, like, okay, put it like this. We can go through a whole list of artists on its own right now. Mm-hmm. You could say Blueface is trash. He's horrible.
Yeah.
You could be like, man, I've been rapping for 20 years and I ain't never did nothing that Blueface did, Wooty Whoop, and he's trash and he's terrible. And it's like, well, guess what? If you've been rapping for 20 years and he's been rapping for one day and he made a hit, how you gonna hate on that man? That's not trash. Some people just gotta understand that you gotta step outside of that box and create your own platform. Little Nas X, man, who would have ever thought he can go to the BET Awards and take a white man? I'm not putting it in a really a racist category, but take a white man, white dancers, and get the whole country behind him.
That song.
To go crazy, bro.
It's crazy.
Like, forget him coming out saying he gay. Whatever. That's that man's business at the end of the day. If he want to come out and he want to say that, hey, it is what it is. But I got to respect you at the end of the day for even doing what you're doing, bro. Billboards, holding the Billboard charts. And just being a black man in country in general. And what I feel like, a lot of people reach out to me a lot because I was on Empire kind of like when they started with the whole Sage the Gemini, D-Mag, the Smoothie Babies, the Show Bangers, the Priceless, the Rock. Like, and a lot of people go over there and they get these distribution deals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they feel like when they get these distribution deals, I think it's a 80-20.
Yeah.
They feel like Gazi is supposed to bust his ass and just, you know what I'm saying? Like, you automatically supposed to be on. That's not how it works, bro. You got to put in the work. A distribution deal, for the people who don't know, is for you to put your music online for free. You're not coming out of pocket like TuneCore and DistroKid. You're not paying $10 a single, and I think it's like $39.99 to put up a whole entire project. Mm-hmm. DistroKid, well, Empire is a little bit different. They're going to put you on all digital platforms, Spotify, Tidal, Apple Music, Deezer, so on and so forth. You're going to get a Vevo channel, right? Each month, it's a certain amount of money that you have to reach to get a payout. So some people be like, oh, Empire be holding my money. Now they don't hold your money. You can request it. But some people only make $50, $60.
Yeah.
And the difference between a distribution and YouTube is you can't go buy no views. And I think that's where a lot of these artists get it messed up, because they feel like you got 30,000 followers on Instagram and you got 50, 60,000 views on your video, but you didn't pay for them. So you don't really know your real crowd. These labels can run all of that. So if you go to them and you be like, man, I got 30,000 followers, I'm the nigga, and they go look at your music and they be like, well, where your comments, where your likes, where your subscribers? You don't got none of that. Then it all falls, and then you want to blame the label and say that, hey, nah. So to all the upcoming artists, don't buy your views, don't buy your followers, have it all organic. Appreciate what you got for your fan base. If you can't get over 100 views on your song, then that just means you ain't working hard enough. Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook ain't enough, because half of the time, most people only have a couple friends that's going to listen to their song. So if you keep pushing them to them outlets, the same people just going to keep listening to the same exact stuff every time you post. You're not going to gain no new fans. You got to get out and you got to go do the footwork. Go to these clubs. Go get a DJ $100 to play your song. Go give them a flash drive. Go give them a CD. Go give them something, but make these connections. Don't wait on nobody else. And I feel like that's what everybody do. They try to find a wave they can get on, or they try to wait till somebody blow up, or they feel like they the hottest. And when nobody don't want to mess with them, it's, oh, you hate. Nah, man. So, y'all got to put the groundwork in, period. Even for me, like I said, I done been doing this so long, and I'm still not where I want to be. But you know what? At the end of the day, I can't be mad at nobody, because they outworking me. How I think I'm working hard, somebody is actually working 10 times harder than me on the back end, and they got a whole nother blueprint than I do. I can't be mad at that. But guess what? These interviews, for all the artists that really, really want to know, every interview that somebody do on The Breakfast Club, Hot 97, they giving you the blueprint. They telling you how to get into the game. You just got to listen. That's the book right there in itself, period.
Yeah.